All right, Lord, Holy Spirit, the Lord, Father God, we thank you that you promise us into salvation. You promise us the kingdom of heaven, just not eternally, but now and here. And we welcome that revelation of living in the kingdom of God here in this very place. You promise us the Holy Spirit. You promise us that we can live in power, that we can live in the joy of the Lord, that when trials and tribulations happen, there is a power, there is an indwelling that is inside of us that can press through the things of this earth, through the things of the world. I believe what the Lord is bringing on us as a community, as a group of people, is an anointing like we haven't had before. But just not for us, that it echoes from us, through us, into the cities, into the workplace, into the places that he has called us to be. You know, there was a time where we would have an altar call and people would want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. People would come. I'd go to conferences. People were like, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want more of the Holy Spirit. And they had signs and things happened and then they went home and then they went back to their life. I don't believe that's what we're living in right now. I believe it's just not being filled with the Holy Spirit, but being engaged in the power of the Holy Spirit to take it out, to be his instrument, to be his voice on this earth, the kingdom on this earth. So I am sharing on the indwelling. You can call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you would like. I believe the baptism is renewing. It's renewal. We can have it at any time. It's not specifically one point. You may have different experiences with being baptized in the Holy Spirit at different times in your life, that it's not reserved for one point. Religion tells us that to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a religion out there that says, oh, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit will be evident immediately with speaking in tongues. It will be evident immediately in this. It will happen in this. It will that. I don't say that's the truth. I say different things can happen at different times. I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church. I was baptized in the water in a non-instrumental Church of Christ. The only time I was baptized was then. My life fell far away soon after that, worse than I ever did. But I knew that baptism was real because there is an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that brought conviction of my sin. Actually, I had extreme mental illness after that because there was conviction that something was wrong and it was battling the principalities and the deception and the demonic influences in my life, and the kingdom of God couldn't live in the same house with that. But I was not in a place that was equipped to handle my deliverance, wasn't in a place that was equipped to equip me to move in the power of the Holy Ghost. So 5 long years went by. Turmoil, mental illness, depression, all of those things, until I reached a level of desperation, reached a level where there was no way out. And then the Holy Spirit came. He was already there, but he chose to manifest himself in a different way. He chose to manifest himself in deliverance, in healing, and empowerment. Because you see, that's another thing, is when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can keep that deliverance. We'll read in a little bit, when Jesus was baptized by John, and then it says the dove of heaven, the Holy Spirit came on him, he immediately went out to the wilderness, and he was tempted. It says that he confronted Satan. He was tempted. But what was the difference? He was moving in the power. He had the Holy Spirit all along. He didn't have a moment of being baptized. Father God, the Holy Spirit was within him. But there was a baptism. There was a point in time where the equipping and the deliverance came. So when he went into the wilderness, he would not fall. And so as our wilderness comes, we don't have to fall. So I'm speaking on a baptism, a renewal of the Holy Spirit, and a body of believers where most people are evidently moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that there is a fresh baptism. There is a fresh revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit that he's doing right now among us. I know people that are having encounters. There's people having encounters in this body like they have never had before. And that's available for you. An encounter like you have never had before. I haven't shared this publicly, but I'm just going to share a testimony of one thing that's happened in my life. Is when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't for a couple months, a couple years before it really grew. 2 months ago, I had a tongue here during the assembly, and the Lord gave me an interpretation right after it. 20 years. That was something new for me. That never happened before. 20 years. My dream life has taken off. A lot of your dream life has taken off. The Lord's baptizing people in the Spirit for greater dreams, greater revelation. So I say, this baptism isn't a one-time event. It can mark one-time event, but it's a change. And there's a change in the Spirit that's happening within us right now. Can you sense it? Talk to some people if you're not sensing it. Lord, we thank you for the change that is among us now. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're changing your people. The Lord said today, what's going across today is an echo. That's not about the numbers that are here. That's echoing from you to others. It's echoing in the workplace. It's echoing in your families. The shadow of the anointing that's on you is going to change people's hearts and minds. Our world has an identity crisis. People don't know who they are. People don't know what sex they are. People don't know what they are. But the identity of the Holy Spirit is going to speak the truth into them so they truly know who they are. Because you know what? We're not physical people. We're spiritual people. The anointing brings the spiritual baptism. So I entitled this The Father's Promise because it is a promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do not leave Jerusalem. Don't leave here today. This is for any of you. Don't leave here today. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is Jesus. Jesus back on earth after going to heaven, speaking to his disciples that there is a greater baptism coming back. It was prophesied by John throughout the Bible that there was one that comes even greater that was going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus knew, even though he was manifested there in his physical form after the death, that this world would have trials and tribulations, and there needed to be something that continued on that empowerment. Next slide. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that what we need right now, is the Spirit of Truth? Isn't this world, this kingdom of the earth, under a deception? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Okay, the worldly mind, the knowledge of man, is not going to accept the things of the Spirit. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to get it. In the worldly knowledge, but in their spirit, they do. Because that same Spirit created them, living inside of them. So it's familiar. It's actually, we always look at a familiar spirit as being a bad thing. The Holy Spirit is a familiar spirit because the Bible tells us that the Lord knew us even before we were created. His Spirit knew us. That you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. We know him. Holy Spirit, we know you. We know you in this place. I love the power of God. It's an addiction. I'm addicted to wanting to see the power of God move. I'm addicted to wanting to move in the power of God. Myself. That might sound a little bit like, arrogant, but I think we should all be that way. I want to see it. I want to see those that I love delivered. I want to see those that are sick to be healed. The Lord was showing me this week that he made us to have addictive behavior, that we're addictive, that we are want to be addicted to something. And that deception of the world gets us addicted to other things, right? Addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to pornography, addicted to chocolate, whatever the case may be. I've had a lot of different addictions in my life. And so I have taken my addictive behavior and I placed it on the Lord. I placed it on the Holy Spirit. Because none of my other addictive behavior really fulfilled me. I always had something missing. There was always something lacking. And so when we evangelize, when we tell people about the Lord, they're looking for something. Right? They're looking for something. They need a pusher. They need someone to fill that addiction of that void in them. They probably don't want to hear your words. They probably want your love and your comfort. But what they want is their addiction filled. They want to know that there's a living God, that there's a Holy Spirit breathing inside of you that can replace those things of the world with the knowledge of kingdom, with the power of Jesus. I love stories of Jesus and things that Jesus does. We're going to look at when Jesus raises a widow's son. That's Luke 7:11. If you want to turn there, we're going to be in this for a little while. There's not a slide for this. Jesus raises a widow's son. So I believe there's something in this about things that are dead. This is a physical death, but things that are dead breathing life into them, that we have the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to breathe life into our dreams, into sickness, into things that aren't life, things that bring death. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. So here comes Jesus with a large crowd. He just didn't come to a large crowd. He brought a large crowd with him. I've always read that as the disciples, a group of people. It was a large crowd. Why? Because they wanted to see what was going on. They were like, this person is doing something, and I want to see what it's about. I need my healing. I need this. There's great sorrow. There's turmoil. But I need what he has. So here comes Jesus with a crowd. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Okay, this was the only son of this woman. She was already a widow. Can you imagine? She didn't have a husband to take care of her. She only had one son. This was probably the person that was going to take care of her. She's just not grieving the loss of her son, who her loves, but this is her whole future. This is her whole life. She is distraught. And also a large crowd was with her. So we have the convergence of a large crowd following the miracles and a large crowd that is seeing this death. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, "Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry." There is some compassion on that. There is some compassion of Jesus on that. Don't cry. He has a compassionate heart. Don't cry. Then he went up and touched the casket they were carrying him on. And the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Get up. Young man, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. The woman who touched him in compassion, he gave back. But look at this. The dead man sat up and began to talk. He didn't just sit up, he began to talk. This is like this healing thing that we do. Okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, where's the pain? Oh, it's a 9, da-da-da. Okay, now what do you feel? A 7, da-da-da. Now let's pray some more. Okay, how do you feel now? Okay, well, come. Your healing will come. Or it's not that death like, oh, this person, you know, his eyes wake up or, you know, starts to move. This person sat up out of his coffin and talked. Okay, so what was he saying? We got two crowds there. You're dead, you sat up, and you talked. I've been to heaven. I've seen God. I've seen that. He brought me back to tell you. I am alive now. I have seen there's more to this earth than this. Mom, there's more to it than this. This is not everything. There's more to it. There is a life. There is an eternity. There is that. There is a promise. He got up and talked. So maybe it's not a physical death. Maybe it's a testimony like we shared last week. Maybe it's like my testimony for my life. When you get delivered, when you get rescued from death, you're going to talk. Because you know there's a greater purpose. There's a greater reason. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at that. What would that look like? I'm not advising doing this, but what would that look like? What would that look like today in today's terms? There's a funeral procession down Rockville Road that pulls over Rockville and Dan Jones. Jesus pulls out the casket. There's a bunch of people with him. Everybody backed up on Rockville Road. This man gets up and starts to talk. I mean, that's the same thing. That's what this man was about. The next part of this goes into Jesus and John the Baptist. We're talking about baptism today, baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that John was the original baptizer, John the Baptist. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now we know longer later in this, verse 28, Jesus says, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So Jesus is very favorable of John. So is John questioning Jesus right here? Are you the one? Is he having a moment of faith? Are you the one is to come, or should we expect someone else? He wasn't questioning Jesus. He was prophesying all along. He prophesied in every gospel. He prophesied that there was coming another, that he baptized in water for the remission of sins. But there comes another that baptized for eternal salvation, but also baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what he's asking. He's asking, are you the one? Are you the one that's to come that's going to change all things? Every way, every how we have lived, every way we have thought, you have come to change that. And just not to change that, but bring with you an empowerment that we don't have to live the same way that we have lived before. And that's what you're all living in, that empowerment. We don't have to live of the world. We live in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. So I love the story of John and his relationship with Jesus. This is in Mark 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths for him." And so John the Baptist, he appeared in the wilderness, preaching in baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so John was already teaching that. There came a revelation to people that they needed to repent for how they were living, and they needed to have forgiveness. Not necessarily that their salvation through Jesus came, but something was wrong with this picture. But then it changed. And John said, "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and unite. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In Luke, it says it like this: "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than me will come. The straps of the sandals I am not worthy to tie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." The Holy Spirit and with fire. We hear that a lot, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal thing, fire, fire this, fire that, fire this. When I read that, I was like, there must be something to it that's more than that idea of fire. And so this is what the Lord showed me. This is Kevin. This is not, I didn't read this somewhere in the Bible, but while I was soaking on the fire of God, what that is, it's just not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's the manifested presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. A fire attacks every sense. You see it, you smell it, it's heat, you touch it. Every sense you have, every sensory you have, can tell the fire. It's a manifestation of the glory. It's a manifestation of the power. So I believe that he's just not calling us to be baptized by water, to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, but to have a fire with us for this world. A manifested glory that we lay hands on the sick and they get healed. That we prophesy to this fallen world. So Lord, we thank you for the manifested power, the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your power. We thank you for your strength. I think like anything in the kingdom of God and anything in religion and spiritual things is sometimes things get confused or not understood or different people have different feelings on things. And so a lot of this is my feelings, my interpretation, what I read in the Bible, what the Lord is telling me. Yeah. I think the manifested power of the Holy Spirit has somewhat been divisive in the church as a whole. Different people have different beliefs, which is fine because it's all good. It's Jesus and Jesus' salvation and the eternity of Jesus. But it struck me a long time ago, and that's why I love here, and I believe this is the mandate of this place and of here, is I have to have it. I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to hear what the Lord is saying, just not in the Bible. I want to hear what he's saying in you. I want to hear the prophetic word in you. I want to hear your dreams in you. He is a living God. I want to be in an environment that touches the living God on his people. So, Lord, we thank you for this place. Lord, we thank you for bread of life. We thank you that it was birthed out of the desire of some men to see more of the move of the Lord, the more of the move of the Holy Spirit to touch. I thank you that that same desire, that same pressing out into the power of the Holy Spirit changed someone like me, changed my life, changed other people's life. That there was things out there that were not doing the trick, but people being open to the move of the Holy Spirit, being moved of your power and your anointing, could touch and could change people. We speak forth now into Hendricks County, now into the city of Indianapolis. For all those that are looking, that are searching for the deliverance, the healing touch of the Holy Spirit, we say our gates are open. Our doors are open, that we are equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit. That a time is now, 20-something years, that a time is now to equip us into the place that we're going, that unique place that only we can be, that only Bread of Life could be. The scripture I'm about ready to read is very important to, it's the last scriptures I heard when I first started coming to church here, because this church is really built on this. It's the story of Acts. After Jesus has departed, what happened? We've had several series throughout the history of being here about the Church of Acts, because that's who we are. Acts 1. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John the Baptist, water, but in a few days I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It's what I built this teaching on, is the Lord, the Father's promises. Down in 7, it is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in all of Jerusalem. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit, that we have received the power of the Holy Spirit in this place, and that we will be a witness to all of Indianapolis, to all of the nations. You know what? We're doing a lot of mission trips this year. We are a witness by the power of the Holy Spirit to the nations. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be that witness to Jerusalem, and in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, I thank you that we are an instrument to the ends of the earth, that this body, this place. Acts 2. This is probably one of my favorite passages. I love the day of Pentecost. As much mourning and that and salvation and thankful for Jesus and the gospel and the death on the cross, I'm for eternally thankful for. But this is one of those scriptures that changes you, because the Holy Ghost changes you. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Boom, manifestation. What John prophesied about, fire. They saw what to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in others' tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. What? Okay, so we have another crowd coming. Just like Jesus raising the dead, there was a crowd coming because of the manifestation, the fire. The crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't you all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in their own native language?" See, the Spirit of God resonates. It resonates in his people. Because we're first spiritual. We're not physical. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. Some of you are going to be made fun of because of the Holy Spirit. This hurt me. I've been made fun of being in the Spirit before. And when I was young, throughout my schooling, throughout high school, I was the ridicule of a lot of jokes. I was made a lot of fun of. I was bullied. It was a lot of turmoil for me. So then when I came to know the Holy Spirit, and I was bullied for him, I got a healing from being bullied before, but it affected me another way. Because the person that I love, the one that changed my life, is being made fun of as it manifests in me. So I don't go there. I'm very open to the Holy Spirit moving on people. I don't think it's funny. I don't make fun of it because I don't know what the Lord's doing in them. And I thank you, Lord, that we have a freedom here for that. So I just want to free people up. If you feel the Lord on you and you're like, have this fear of man, be free. Lord, we break off the fear of man in Jesus' name. We break off that fear of I have a tongue, I have an interpretation, I have a prophecy, but is it me? Is it the Lord? I'm scared to share it. There is a fear. We break off the fear right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit here. You're welcome, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain. This is you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. Okay, so what is the number one scripture, the number one prophecy that we constantly hear over this body? It's this. It's repeated here from the book of Joel, from the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I'm thankful our sons and daughters will prophesy. My daughters are prophesying. My daughters speak in tongues. They spoke in tongues before they spoke in English. Because they didn't know anything different. They didn't know the English language. So we just sat there, and as the syllables came and as things happened, I was like, go with it. An encourager, go with it. And young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. Jesus, this is what you prophesied about this place. I will show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below. Lord, we say, bring your wonders. Bring your signs. We are open. You have already done it. I'm not prophesying something that has not happened in this place, but I am prophesying that we have an openness to even the greater glory, the greater presence of your Holy Spirit. I pray that for no one to be sick. This is Simon. I think this is prophetic for us. When the apostles and the people of Bread of Life heard and accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet came on them. So these were new believers, and the Holy Spirit hadn't yet came on them. So they already accepted it. But there is another baptism. There is more of the Holy Spirit. They haven't had the fullness yet of more. We have that ability in this place to bring the fullness to others. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I say that we are going to place our hands on the people of this world, and they are going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Just not the salvation of Jesus Christ, but the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the training. We thank you for the things that have taken place. We receive that. We see Paul going out as well. Acts 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. This is Acts 19. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" I know people that love Jesus and they're saved and I feel like there's something missing in their life. They know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives inside of them through the blood of Jesus and salvation, but there's something missing. They're not getting over their depression. They're not getting over their anxiety. They're not getting over their addictions to pornography. They're not getting over their addictions to alcohol. They're not getting over things because they need to give up a little bit of themselves and ask someone greater in. So, Lord, we ask for that boldness to ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Do you want more of the Holy Spirit? So Paul asked, what baptism did you receive? They replied, Paul says John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. We're going to talk about that for a minute, logistically. So these were people who gathered who knew each other, a group of people. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Do they speak in another language? They spoke in a heavenly language and they prophesied because it's connected. Speaking in tongues and it prophesies. I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues for a minute. Because it's like sometimes we shy away from this. First of all, I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues. I'm not saying you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I'm not saying it's a mandate that that's what has to be done. But I think often there's some confusion with it. It's a heavenly language. I'm going to open myself up here, my critical, judgmental self that I got over. When I used to hear someone speak in tongues, I had a spirit of disbelief, and I tried to rationalize it with my own earthly knowledge. I would seriously sit there, and maybe some of you know these type of people, maybe some of you, like myself, have been one, as I would sit there and count the syllables. I would count the words because I think I am translating Spanish or French into English. Like, this needs to be connected with that. Well, they're just talking gibberish, because that can't equal that, earthly knowledge. Or I did this. Someone spoke in tongues, they had interpretation. A few weeks later, they speak in what appears to me to be the exact same tongue, and there's a totally different interpretation. So, I'm like, so Shambhala Hilabaishata means the kingdom of God is at hand. Come and partake now. And then Shabbaba Hilabashapa means there's a river running through the thing. Come and jump in the river. How can this equal that? Because it sounds the same to me. It's a spiritual language. It is what the Holy Spirit is birthing inside that person to get it out. I was thinking in my mind. I was thinking in my earthly knowledge. What was the first scripture? The man not in the spirit doesn't understand the ways of the spirit. I was in my head, not in the spirit. And even if it was somebody messing up, who cares? You know, that's on them. I'm not going to judge. You know, I don't like to be judged. I didn't like it when people made fun of me because the Holy Spirit was moving on me and they thought it was funny. Let it be. Hey. There's a relaxedness with the Spirit. So, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even the handkerchief and aprons that he had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirit left them. I'm going to confess myself again about my religious judgmentalness. I know that's a thing sometimes in the Pentecostal church. You hear that it's been done. It's some tradition that's been handed down. They take that one scripture. You know, maybe it's abused. People send money into someone. They send a handkerchief, whatever. We all know the stories of the charismatic, the world, and type of stuff like that. Well, I have Heather's grandfather, who I've shared about before, and he's a Pentecostal pastor. He was part of an awakening that swept over New England in the 50s. He prays for us all the time, and he sent me a handkerchief. I said, I've been praying over this for months. I've been praying over this that your daughters will know the fullness of the kingdom of God. That their sickness won't be an issue. That whatever is missing in their lives will be filled with the kingdom of God. So I could have been one like, oh, that's silly. Whatever. That's silly. So did I put it under the bed? Yes. Because that was a man in his heart and his belief and what he was doing. And hey, I don't know. I'll take it however it comes. You know, and I'm believing that handkerchief under that mattress right now is healing things that people say can't be healed. I'm not going to box it in. So there was a word that came forth this morning that the Lord was making us his handkerchiefs. That it wasn't about this piece of handkerchief and doing that, that he was making that into us. That we were going to manifest his glory that was going to echo from this place. And that's what we're going to pray today. We're going to pray that power. We've been talking about promises for months. That's been our theme. This seemed a little bit different, didn't it? Didn't carry along with the regular theme. But the truth is, it's the promise of the Holy Spirit that's going to birth his other promises. So if you're walking in the promise of this is going to happen in my life, but not in the fullness of the power, the promise might be having a little bit of trouble getting started. May we just not be filled with the Spirit that emerged in the power. Just not filled in it that emerged in its power, emerged in its promises, emerged in its fire, the manifested power of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm really excited about the Holy Spirit lately. I'm really excited about his promises. I'm really excited about what he's doing with friends of mine. I'm really excited about that touch. And so we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for that power to come. And you might be like, I've done this many times before. I'm already baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of those things. But I'm telling you, there's something fresh and there's something new. There's an encounter that's awaiting for you, for visions and for dreams and for a release.
So I have a challenge for you, And it goes along with what has been said this morning. Hebrews 11:4, by an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God, noticed and approved as righteousness. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. Hebrews 13:15, let us take our place outside with Jesus, no longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name. This week I've been mulling over Hebrews 11:4. It was about what Abel believed, not what he brought. So what do we believe when we come up here and we pray or we hear the prayers that are being prayed? It never occurred to me to focus on what my belief was. Motives, yes, but not belief when I brought my praise. So I got really excited, and I want to pass this on to you. So what if we believed that our voices, our music, our prayers actually brings down strongholds like at the walls of Jericho, that chains fall off when we praise like Paul and Silas? Take it a bit further, that this might even happen when we're talking to people in regular life. What about believing that we carry the tangible anointing of God so that when we make food, we sew clothes, we mix music, we assist others in our very vocation and our daily lives, that we leave a tangible residue behind us that destroys the enemy's plans and brings God's kingdom to earth?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So I'm like, what do we do with this? We're gonna go into a ministry time now. I like to do ministry a little bit different rather than the same way. I hate when people tell me something to do, like we all need to stand or that. I don't know why. I am. Maybe it's the rebellious side of me of like, don't tell me what to do. I don't know. But I really feel the Lord on this. Could you mind all coming up on the carpet? We're just going to have a ministry of the Holy Spirit, not of a person, but just of the Holy Spirit. You can come on up. We're going to do two things. We are going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come, which he's already here, as you know. But we're going to pray that he comes in a different way. That as he said, that there's a fresh anointing for dreams and visions, for those things mentioned in Joe. But there's an anointing on you to take this to your workplace, to your family, to that. That there's a manifested presence of the Holy Spirit that is different, a renewal of the baptism. We're just going to ask for him to come. And then we're going to close. If you need prayer, rather than a ministry team, there's a community. There's an openness in the Spirit now. Just ask the person next to you. I believe that there is deliverance today. There is healing today. The Holy Spirit just doesn't come to fill you, but to get rid of those things that are keeping you from your purpose, that's keeping you from your destiny, that's keeping you from your promise. I think it's the right kidney. There's somebody with a right kidney. I don't know if it's kidney stones or dialysis situation. Okay. You know, the kidneys filter impurities in our body. Our emotions, the Lord is filtering our emotions today. There's a filtration of things going on. Okay, so we're going to pray in the Spirit. But please, ask someone for prayer today, because they are freshly anointed. It's not by my prayer here. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that's here. If you have a, if you pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Lord, we just release the presence of the Lord. We release the Holy Spirit that's within us already. We receive the fresh anointing that's coming. We receive new dreams. We receive new vision. We receive prophetic accuracy to prophesy to people in the workplace. We receive healing. Lord, anoint our hands, Lord, with a greater impartation of healing. Lord, we thank you that you are anointing us to change the atmosphere of a room by your presence. There were some of you that when I talked about speaking in tongues, your heart fluttered because it's a gift that you have wanted for a really long time and it hasn't happened. So, Lord, we pray now, Lord God, you ask us to earnestly seek the gifts. We pray now for your manifested presence of fire. A fire to come now. Thank you. The Lord is breaking this off of me. I'm just getting real. I'm sure he's breaking off of other people. Is the judgment of the things of the Spirit or trying to criticize someone because we think that they are not living up to what they should to have their anointing or to that. So, Lord, we just break off every judgment, Lord, that we have placed against people that has hindered the move of the Holy Spirit. Lord, right now we receive spiritual eyes to see into the Spirit, that we don't see and judge things as man, but we see the things of the Spirit. And Lord, we release a freedom in this place for new signs, new wonders, new tongues, new prophecy. And we say, come. We say, crowd, come. Just as they come to see the work of Jesus, we prophesy to the lost souls of the north, the east, the west, and the south. And we say, come to this place for the salvation of your soul and for the manifested presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the fresh anointing. We thank you for this fresh indwelling among us now. Lord, we thank you for the expectancy of change. We thank you for the expectancy of that sickness that we have been going after for years to be healed today. We welcome the knowledge of heaven into the knowledge of our existence. The Holy Spirit in us. Welcome, kingdom of God. Welcome, kingdom of God. Welcome, angels. Welcome, heavenly host into our life. we go into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer about specific things today, there is a healing here. There is a deliverance here. If you feel like you haven't got that tongue yet, those things that the Lord wants to pour out on you that you feel in your spirit, ask someone next to you. Ask whoever. Lord, we thank you for the fresh anointing that's on us and to give to others in this place and outside of this place. Thank you for your anointing.